Hey, this is Adam Penapinto. I'm the pastor here at Hope Covenant Church, and I'm so glad that you're joining with us today. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a part of our Hope Covenant Church family, we would love to connect with you via social media on all social media outlets or on our website, hopecovenant.cc. I hope this word encourages, inspires, and challenges you in your daily walk with God as we dig deeper into His Word. Let's jump right into today's message. We're in the middle of this message called Be Still and Know. We started it last week, and I want to encourage you, if you missed last week, to go and listen to the podcast. How many of you were here last week and you felt the presence of the Lord? I mean, while I was speaking, I was having a hard time. I really was, because I just felt the Lord so strong. There was a really sweet presence in the room, and it did translate on the podcast. I went and listened to it. So I want to encourage you to give it a listen. But this verse, it says in Psalms 46, verse 10 and 11, "Be still and know that I am God." Not be still and guess, not be still and think about it. Be still and know. That's a sign of confidence when you know. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the nations. I love that. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah, which means chew on this. Think about it. In the Passion Translation, I love this version. It says, surrender your anxiety. How many of you have had some anxiety? How many of you look at the news and you get a little anxious? You look at your finances, you get a little anxious. Maybe you've gotten a health report, you're getting a little anxious. It says, surrender that anxiety to the Lord and be still and realize that I am God. There is something about stillness where you hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Whispers are heard in close proximity and in the quiet, in the stillness. Yeah, that's true. Now, it's hard when your soul is out of whack and your heartbeat is going to feel that stillness, but we need to pause in His presence. When things are tough and challenging and there's stuff coming at you and you're not sure what to do, you pause, still, with a knowledge of the fact that He's not fallen off His throne because we deal with a challenge or an issue or a circumstance. Paul tells us to even be ready for those. They're going to come, it says. So surrender your anxiety, be still, and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. He stands the commander. I love that. The commander, the man who's in charge. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. And then I love this. No matter what you got going on, just pause in His presence. Everybody say pause. In His presence. Now, Father, we pause in Your presence right now and we pray for Israel as they're having some things going on right now and making some decisions even as we speak about what to do with Hamas. And we right now thank You, Lord, for wisdom. We thank You, God. We pray for every nation, but we stand with Israel because You are clear that a friend of Israel is a friend of Yours. So, Father, I'm a friend of God, and I thank You, Lord, that this church, we stand right now in agreement with peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, we ask for a release of peace over the nation of Israel, over Palestine, over Hamas. We bind every demonic attack in Jesus' name, every nefarious plan. We say, no way, no way, You stop in Jesus' name. If you believe that, where two or three are gathered, would you shout amen?
Amen.
The reason why I have you shout amen is so your ears hear Your voice commanding that authority. It makes a difference. Habakkuk 2, verse 3, we read this last week, and I'll just recap it real quick because this is important. This verse is kind of a game changer. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait means to be still. Wait for it, because it will come. It will not tarry. Some of you that are hanging on the promises of God and you feel like you've done 10 steps backwards, needs to thank God for what feels like 10 steps backwards. If you're walking in the presence of the Lord and you know that God has spoken this promise, you know it's of the Lord, stand on that promise no matter what it looks like. These are opportunities for us to exercise faith, and that is the currency in which God will move. Amen. Faith is the currency. God looks at it and He goes, I can work with this. I can work with this. In the NIV, it says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Some of you that are waiting for God to do something through you, just allow God in this moment to do something in you. It gives him something to work with. Allow God to do a work in you in a moment where you feel you're at a standstill. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that his ways and his plans and his timing is perfect. And what looks like a delay is an appointed time. Say this out loud. What looks like a delay, is an appointed time. This is a good word for somebody who's restless and going, God, when? I right now could be doing that over the building, but I'm going, you know what? It's an appointed time. And I thank you, God, that your ways are better. I thank you, God, that when I get a no, that's a no from you. When you get to that place, that's called obedience. It's called you submitting to his lordship. Everybody wants a savior. Everybody. God, come save me. But when we submit to his lordship and we're obedient and we chill out in the timing, it's amazing what happens when we go, God, your ways are better. We thank you for your appointed time. What'll happen is you'll turn around and you'll go, something way bigger happened in me, and now it's happening through me. And God's not using you. He's working through you. He doesn't use people. Aren't you grateful for that?
Yes.
A lot of times we say, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. He's like, I'd rather do a work in you and work through you than use you. I'm not like that.
Yeah.
I don't use people.
That's right.
I've worked for pastors before and felt used. But I would much rather them go, no, you know what? God's going to do something through you. That's why I've got you. Maybe you have a boss that's used you before. You know what it feels to be used. Listen, when you're obedient in this principle and you wait and you're still, God can do something in you and you can allow God, you can know that, because we have the ability to hinder this. We do. But when you are still, you are literally allowing God to do a work that's anointed. When it's anointed and it's appointed by God, now it's beyond your natural ability. We all have natural abilities, but now I don't know about you, but I want the breath of God. I want the anointing that takes me beyond what I can do in the natural.
Yes.
So I want to give you a few points in this busy world. We've got this world is filled with noise. It's filled with deadlines and chaos and crisis that can pull our attention in every direction. Yet in the midst of it all, God gives us a gentle and strong command. It's a command. In other words, this is dictated. Be still and know that I am God in the middle of the chaos. It's not just poetic, it's prophetic. It's God inviting us to stop striving and start trusting. To pause our movement so that we could perceive his majesty. I'm going to say that again because that's really good. To pause our movement so we can perceive his majesty, his awe.
That's good.
He's a big God. Which if we would be able to just be still and focus on how big he is, oftentimes, even before your prayer is answered, you recognize that and your problem's no longer a problem. It becomes faith. And God uses that currency of that revelation that happened because you were still and you knew he was God. Psalms 46 was written in a time, we just read this verse about being still and knowing. It was written in a time of turmoil when nations were raging with political and spiritual chaos and the earth seemed unstable. Anybody feel like that right now?
Sure.
Yet in the middle of the chaos, God says, be still. The greatest testimony that we can have as a church is to have a confidence, not be in fear, but be in faith and be confident knowing that he's in control no matter what it looks like. So that when you go to Starbucks or you go wherever you go, a restaurant, and you're at peace, that becomes contagious. They go, oh my goodness, why are you so full of joy? I get that all the time with Liz. Why are you so full of joy? They don't look at Eeyore, they look at Liz. Why are you so full of joy? And it's Jesus shining through her. Amen? It's the fact that she's still and she knows that he's God. So point one that I want to give you is, and I'm going to break this up. Point one is be still, stop striving. Everybody say stop striving. Be still, stop striving. The Hebrew word, be still, and I know this is a different word, but it's pronounced Rapha. That's the Hebrew word. It's not talking about Jehovah Rapha. This is Rapha, a different meaning. But it means to let go, relax, or cease striving. The word relax is a good word for a type A personality. It's hard. What does it mean to relax when things don't look well and you don't understand? It means you're still and you know. Man, the rubber's meeting the road with this, isn't it? But Rapha, this Hebrew word, to let go, relax, to cease striving. God isn't asking us to be inactive. He's asking us to release control. Ooh, that's hard. I struggle with that on a daily basis. What is it called when you struggle with something on a daily basis? It's called a journey of overcoming. How many of you are on a journey of overcoming? Where I'm just still and I go, God, I can't make this happen. I can't orchestrate this. Only you can orchestrate this. What is it when I'm still? It's called worship. It's a lifestyle. It's not a song. Worship is a lifestyle. And this is the attribute of God. And I begin to get the peace of God because peace is who he is. I begin to feel the love of God because God is love. I begin to feel his comfort because I'm pausing and there's something that happens where Holy Spirit will now speak to me on behalf of God. He's the communicator and say, baby, it's going to be okay. I'm advocating for you in the background. I'm doing a work in the background. It might seem like that Saturday quiet in between moment. He died Friday. It's quiet on Saturday, but there's a resurrection coming on Sunday. Can we give God a shout of praise? We often equate movement with progress, but God's greatest work happens in stillness. Wow. That is progress. Think of a stormy sea. As long as the waters are agitated, they can't reflect the sky above. Only when waters are calm do they reflect the heavens. In the same way, when your soul is restless, it's difficult to reflect God's peace. But when you're still, you can see him clearly and reflect the testimony of peace in the middle of whatever trouble or chaos comes your way, and that becomes an amazing testimony. That's what I want. Why are you so stable? This generation needs stability. I was reading in a magazine this week. I get like Relevant magazines about church stuff, and I really could care less about Relevance, to be honest with you. The older I'm getting, the more I don't give a flip about it. But I was reading about it, and it was an interesting fact that there's a generation right now that is attracted, and I've shared this with you, but if you've not heard it, I want you to get this because it's what is happening right now. They're attracted to the Gothic cathedral-type buildings, and the reason why is because it represents stability. It represents something that's been there for a long time. You know, the greatest testimony that we can have is to walk with the Lord and remain stable and let time prove that we are still before the Lord, knowledge of who he is, and that stability is keeping us on track. Amen? Yes. And that's what we need to do. But I thought that was interesting because there's a generation that needs to see you be stable. The greatest testimony that we can have as a church in these turbulent end times is to know that he's God and stay in a place of peace and don't let that be robbed. Moses said to the Israelites during Pharaoh's captivity in Exodus 14, verse 13 to 14, Moses answered the people and he said, don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. Oh my goodness, I could shout that over my life right now. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will. Not you might, not it could happen. You will see the deliverance of the Lord that it will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Isn't that amazing? How many of you know we pay the devil way too much attention? Way too much attention. I believe in warfare, but I believe in worship way more because worship is where it's handled. Because where the presence of the Lord is, the enemy can't stand it. We need to stand in authority and say absolutely not. When Israel faced the Red Sea, he didn't tell them to panic or to plan. I love that. He didn't tell them to panic or plan. He told them to stand still. Everybody say stand still. And watch what he would do. And we know what happened. The waters parted. How many of you know that was an impossible thing? But God. How many of you are staring at impossible, but God? How many of you want the bigger church building with the kids' room that's actually in the back instead of the front, but God? You go, when is it going to come? But God. What, Pastor Adam, are you nervous? But God. It doesn't mean I don't feel those things, but God. I'll be honest with you. I feel it every day. What am I going to do? Father, I've got to do something. I got to, but God, just be still, but God. There's a but God coming. Yeah. Do you know it? Yeah. There's a but God coming. I want to say this to all the retired or coming up on retirement forerunners, that I believe your greatest days are ahead of you. God has prepared you for this. The church has got to stop dismissing those that are finally like the fine wine that we waited for. Right. He's preaching about wine. Oh my gosh. Bind that religious spirit in Jesus' name. There's something happening. There's something happening. Isaiah 30, verse 15 in the New King James Version. For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness, everybody say, and confidence shall be your strength. So when I'm confident, there's something that happens in me where I'm strengthened. And it becomes supernatural. Stuff that used to phase you doesn't phase you anymore. Sometimes the best and most godly thing you can do is stop trying to fix it and let God be God. Stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to work it out. Stop trying to figure it out. You got your little calculator trying to figure it out. Just let God be God. So that's be still. Now let's go to and know, and that's recognize his presence. Stillness leads to awareness. It's revelation. You can't know that he is God until you pause long enough to sense him. Amen? We need this encounter. Don't tell me about God. This generation's saying that. Don't tell me about him. I want to know him. If he's real, show him to me. And we know we can't physically do that, but we sure can through his presence. When they're in worship and they're going, oh my goodness, what was that? It's called the Lord. You just had an appointment with God. You just met with God. That's what that was. I had people asking me last week, what was I sensing during service? It was the Lord. It was the stillness of the Lord. You sense the Lord. This isn't a call to intellectual knowledge. It's an experiential knowing. To know God is to encounter him personally. Let me give you an example. This is when the Lord appeared to Elijah on Mount Horeb. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 12, the Lord said, go out and stand. Listen, that's important. It's important when you don't know what to do, go out and stand. On the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And in the fire came a gentle, everybody say gentle, whisper. God wasn't in the wind, wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the fire. It was the still, small voice. Those whispers that are heard only in close proximity. What do? We pull close to Jesus. We have that morning time with our coffee. If you're doing it right. And it's not decaf. Don't talk to me about decaf. Get back on track, Adam. It's in his presence. When we quiet our hearts, when we make room for revelation, the noise around you will always compete with the whisper of God. Our iPhones will always compete with the whisper of God. The notifications, the news, the constant distractions, the constant Amazon deliveries, Liz. No, he didn't. She's like, half of those are yours, babe. They are. How many of you love, you press the button and they're like at your front door. You're like, what? I just finished pressing the button. They just know it's a prophetic thing. That's where Elijah found peace, not in the power, but in the presence. The presence, when there's the presence, the power follows, not the other way around. You get that? The presence of God then invites the power of God. You don't get the power of God without the presence. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Him and her with clean hands and a pure heart. And he rewards those that seek him with diligence. So when you have on your calendar, Lord, I'm just going to be still. I'm not going to bombard you with the request today. I'm just going to be still. I want to hear you. I need to are you fellowshipping with God or are you just talking to him? I'm preaching better than your amening because that is pretty good. Are you still where you're having conversations with God? And are you doing this on a daily basis? It could be in your car on your way to work where you just pause and say, Lord, I've got a bunch of needs. Forget those. I enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I enter into your courts praising you. And then we're in the presence of the Lord. So I've started my day. Liz and I together, we have been practicing this. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And then it turns into a faith prayer. We thank you that, dot, dot, dot. And we'll fill in the dot, dot, dot. Lord, we don't know what to do, but we know you're up to something. We trust you. You're orchestrating it. You're working it out. It feels quiet, but I thank you, God, you got it all figured out. And you'll tell me when you're ready. And until then, I will stand and know. So here's our part. When was the last time you sat silent before the Lord and just said, God, speak to me? He loves it. He loves it. The holdup isn't him. Oftentimes, it's our stillness. When was the last time you prayed without words just to listen? You go, pray? I thought praying was like talking. You could say hello. That's cool. Hi, God. I'm going to be still. I need to hear you. He'll speak. You go, I haven't heard the audible voice of the Lord. Crack open the word of God and read it out loud. There you go, the audible voice of God. Wow. Man, am I wrong?
No.
Have you ever prayed scripture? Like, be still and know that he's God, Spirit. Yeah. And you start talking to yourself and praying scripture. You read it out loud so your ears hear it. Amen. You just heard the voice of the Lord because scripture is the voice of God. Amen?
Right.
Amen. It's good stuff right there. It was an aha moment for some of us. It was an aha moment for me. Point three, so be still and know that I am God. Let's talk about his sovereignty. The fact that he's not shaken by anything. He's not disturbed by the things that disturb him. Me. He doesn't have lack. So when I'm nervous about my bank account, he owns it all. He's fine. Remember, God does not have needs. He has desires. It's important to remember that. That's good theology. He does not have needs. He has desires. The stillness and knowing lead to this revelation that he is God. He's not saying, be still and figure it out. He's saying, be still and remember who I am. I am. Just I am. God, I don't know what I am. Lord, I need to switch my situation up. I need a new job. I am. Lord, when is it going to happen? I am. Lord, my health. Father, I just lost somebody, and this is weighing on me. I am. Holy Spirit, you're the comforter. Just come and comfort me. I need a hug. And just receive his presence. Receive just who he is. And be still, and you will see his sovereignty in that moment. That's good. He is God over your circumstances. He's your refuge and your strength. This is in Psalms 46, verse 1. Let's make it legal. God is our refuge and our strength. Woo, that was revelatory. Always ready to help me in times of trouble. Number two, he's God over your enemies. He causes wars to cease. Psalms 46, verse 9. Here it is. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He's also God over your future. His purposes will, not they might, they will prevail. It might not be your desire now, but when you say, God, give me the desires of your heart, it doesn't mean you get what you want when you want. It means God gives you what you want and when you want. God puts it in there. Like, and I've told you this before, years ago, thinking and even saying and even praying, Lord, I thank you that you're sending me back to Texas, the land of the good and plenty, the land of the beautiful. God, you're sending me back there. And I couldn't stand this city. And then God did a work in me, and all of a sudden I started falling in love with the city and falling in love with all of y'all. And God started doing some things that were so deep in me. And the next thing I knew, I was like, God, please don't send me back to Texas. And the Lord's like, oh, I might have been talking to you the whole time. And I love Texas. When you know he is God, you stop panicking and you start resting. Faith isn't the absence of motion. It's the absence of worry in the midst of motion. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you just are a vegetable and you do nothing. It means that God's in it. It means that in the middle of what's happening, he's there. He's present. And you're recognizing it. Jesus was asleep in the boat during the storm. If you remember in Mark 4, verse 39, he, and this is talking about Jesus, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Are you saying to the storm, quiet, be still? Did you know you have that authority? Quiet, be still. Sometimes it's over your racing thoughts. It's called taking your thoughts captive. Quiet, be still. I spoke it over my mind this week. I had some thoughts about some things that I'm wrestling with, some worries that I could easily start entertaining, which, by the way, is a sin when I allow that to happen. Why? Because I'm not staying in the spirit. I'm in the flesh. And so I had to start commanding my thoughts and say, be still. Stop. Stop. Be quiet. Over the storm, be quiet. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Why? Because he's God. He's sovereign. The disciples panicked, but Jesus rested because he knew who he was and who was in control, which is God. I want to ask you, do you know who you are in the Lord? Have you taken time to know who you are in the Lord? Do you know that when you're still in his presence, you learn a lot about yourself? He equips you in the stillness, in the knowledge that he is God, not in when you're doing and trying to figure it out. I believe that pressing into scripture is good. I believe that knowing the word of God is good. I believe that all in all that equipping stuff, but there's something about just experiencing his equipping happening through the revelation of what he's speaking to me. And I don't want one or the other. I want the both. But Jesus didn't react to the storm. He rested in his authority. I want to ask you, are you resting in your authority? You don't have to take authority. It's already been given to you. Walk in it. When God says, be still and know that I'm God, he's saying, stop fighting battles that belong to me. Some of y'all just need to stop fighting. Stop carrying burdens you were never meant to bear. Stop trying to control the outcome that only I can command. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. This is good. Stillness is not weakness. It's worship. It's the quiet confidence that says, God, you are in control. And so today, maybe God is inviting you into deeper stillness, not inactivity, but inner rest. A heart that says, even when I don't see it, Lord, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, millennials, we love the feels, but even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel good, God, you're up to something. You know, the surgery of the Lord doesn't always feel good, but it is good. Why? Because he's for you. So when God's doing a deep work and we want to resist, just submit to the process of the Lord and just be still and know that he is God. If you're in a place this morning where you've been active and you've been busy, and you've been struggling, and you've been distracted, and you've been pressed down by circumstances, I want to invite you to stand to your feet this morning. If you're struggling this morning, if you're looking at a situation, looking at the unknown, going, God, I don't know what to do, I want to encourage you to stand to your feet this morning. If you're in a position where you need to just know that He is up to something and you need that revelation, I want to encourage you to stand to your feet. I want to encourage us all to just stand to our feet this morning and just pray this with me. Jesus, pray it out loud. Let your ears hear this. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that in my surrender, there's tremendous power. Faith teacher, teach me to be still. Silence every anxious thought. Remind me that you're God, my refuge, my strength, and my peace. Help me to trust you more deeply, to rest in your presence, and to walk in quiet confidence, clothed in humility. In Jesus' name, amen. Why is it important to walk in quiet confidence that's clothed in humility? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you look and go, God, I don't have a clue what to do. There's no manual for this moment other than to be still and know. Other than to be still and know. Father, I'm just going to be still and I'm going to know. And in that, it becomes a tremendous testimony to those that don't know the Lord. Do you know that in your brokenness and in the midst of when you feel you need the most ministry is when you can be the biggest minister? That's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's oftentimes when I'm struggling that God uses me the most. When I think I have it together, again, He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He loves brokenness. The best thing you can do, I want to encourage you to do this week, is get into His presence. Say, God, break what needs to be broken. It's a dangerous prayer because He'll do it. If you invite Him to do it, He'll do it. God, would you break me? And would you infuse me with revelation of who you are? If you pray that, I believe He'll do it. Can I encourage you this week? Spend some time with Jesus. Experience His love and be forever changed. Can we give God a shout of praise? That's really good this morning. Lord, we do that. We do that. I pray Psalms 91 over every person. Lord, you are our shield, you're our protector, you're our comforter, you're our director. We thank you for your goodness this morning. No matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we're faced with, God, we thank you that you're in control. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed. I love you. We'll see you next week. If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it and share it on social media or jump onto our website, hopecovenant.cc, and click on our giving link and help us continue to share the message of Jesus across the world. God bless you and have an awesome week.